I'm just mainly looking at the Beatitudes. But Jesus speaks in Matthew 5, verses 1 and 2, speaks of Jesus getting ready to speak. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, saying," he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Again, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And my thought this morning is hungering and thirsting for Jesus. Hungering and thirsting for Jesus. You may be seated. Hungering and thirsting for Jesus. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Dear God, I pray that your word, the word of God, this great seed would fall on great soil, fertile soil, dear God. We know there's nothing wrong with the seed, nothing wrong with your word, but sometimes our hearts aren't receptive. So, dear God, my prayer this morning is that all of our hearts would be open and receptive to what thus saith the Lord. And then, Lord, as we leave here, let us not just be hearers of the word of God, but let us be doers of the word of God. And I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Hungering and thirsting for Jesus. You know, there are many things that we hunger and thirst for. Many good things that we hunger and thirst for. We hunger for certain types of foods. When I'm on Brainerd Road, when I pass by that Krispy Kreme donut place and that light is flashing, oh, it's a great tendency to want to turn in there. We were just by there yesterday and Ariana was driving. I almost told her to pull over there in the parking lot. Let me get some of those hot donuts. Even now, it's you know, it's April, but as I think about Thanksgiving, think about that Thanksgiving feast, my mouth almost begins to water just thinking about that Thanksgiving feast. So there are many things that we hunger for. There are many things that we thirst for, like on that hot summer day when maybe you've been cutting the grass or maybe you've been walking or jogging or riding your bike. There is nothing like a good cold bottled water or maybe some iced tea or some lemonade on a hot day. Well, some people have a deep hunger and thirst for just the right career opportunity. Others hunger and thirst for a certain status, a certain type of prestige. There's nothing wrong with those things. Some people, of course, have illegitimate hungers and thirst. Some people hunger and thirst for sinful things, things that we should say, do not touch, do not taste, do not eat. Some people hunger and thirst for sinful things. But many of us hunger and thirst for the right type of friends, you know, the right type of support group, the right type of people around you, the right type of people that can mentor or disciple you, or the right type of people that you can mentor or disciple. So many of us hunger and thirst for just the right type of crowd to kind of hang out with. Although most of our and many of our hungering and thirsting are legitimate, how many this morning are hungering and thirsting for Jesus? How many of us this morning have a hunger and a thirst for God? Blessed or happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for a right standing before God. This is not a self-righteousness like the Pharisees had, but this is a righteousness for I want to be right before God. And in this sermon this morning, I'm going to use hungering and thirsting for righteousness. I'm going to use that kind of synonymously or interchangeably with hungering and thirsting for God. Hungering and thirsting for Jesus. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for God, for they shall be filled. They shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for Jesus, for we shall be filled and satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What does this word righteousness mean? If you're taking notes, righteousness, simply put, is the character or quality of being right. It's the character or quality of being right. Or being just. It's the character or quality of being right. It's right action. It's right doing. It's right living. Let me repeat that. It's right action. It's right doing. It's right being. Right living. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you're taking notes, this hungering and thirsting for righteousness is a healthy hunger and thirst. It's a healthy hunger and thirst. A healthy hunger and thirst. It's a desire to live in the will of God. It's a denial of self. It's a desire to live in the will of God. It's a denial of self, this hungering and thirsting. Also, it's a desperate hunger and thirst. It's a desperate hunger and thirst. Psalm 63:1, write that down and read it later. It says, the psalmist says, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. Here it is. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. The psalmist had a deep and desperate hunger and thirst for God. How about you this morning? Do you long for the presence of God? Do you hunger and thirst for him? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Too often we can get busy doing the work of God and forget to spend quality time with God. Or maybe I'm just preaching to myself. Too often we can get busy doing the work of God, doing some good things, good stuff, but forget about spending quality time with God. If you're spending quality time with God, you will be doing some stuff for God. But it begins with that quality time with God. You know, in life, just the everyday hustle and bustle of life, the business of life. You know, if you're married, you got kids and taking your kids here or there and different things. That stuff can drain you of your time and energy. It can drain you. And seemingly you won't have anything left for God. But, oh, my friend, those are the times you should cry out to God. Just like the psalmist did. Once again, those are the times you say, oh, God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land. Those are the times to cry out to God. Those times you don't really feel like it. Anybody been there before? Those times you don't really even feel like praying. Those times you don't feel like reading your Bible. Those are the times you really need to press through and pray and read the word of God. Cry out to God. Have a hunger and a thirst for him. Have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. David, the psalmist in Psalm 17:8 said this. He says, keep me, said to God. He said, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. David said, God, keep me right there close to you. God, keep me as kind of like number one on your plan. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Then he went on in verse 15 of Psalm 17. David said, as for me, I will see your face, listen to this, saints, I will see your face in righteousness. I should be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. David said, there's nothing better than being a God chaser. There's nothing better than being a God seeker, to seek the presence and the power of God. You and I should have a hunger and thirst for the Lord. Psalms 42:1, one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. And now, Sister Griggs did me a little drawing of that. It's in my office, in my study now. Psalms 42:1 says, as a deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, that's the cry of a healthy Christian. You and I should want to be closer to God, closer to Jesus. You know, in Christendom, I've heard Dr. Robert Smith talk about this. He's a great preacher. He's over the homiletics department down at Beeson Divinity School in Birmingham. He talks about how many Christians it should be a both and, not an either or. But he said you got Christians who say, when I come to church or when I read my Bible, I just want to experience it from the neck down. I just want to be emotionalized. I just want to be neck down. I don't want to hear anything about any deep stuff or anything about what God is like. Just emotionalize me from the neck down. Then he said some Christians are like, well, I don't want to hear any emotional stuff, any of that flu stuff. Just tell me all the facts. I just want to hear about God from the neck up. Just my mind, my brain. Well, beloved, I'm going to say it's not an either or. It's a both and. You know, as we learn more things about God, it's going to cause or evoke emotion. It's going to get us excited because we know Jesus said it better than I. He said, those who worship God must worship him. Here it is, in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. So this Christian walk, we should chase God, if you will. And God is not playing hide and go seek. He said, here I am. Just come to me. Here I am. Come to me. You know, sometimes we're not careful. We can get stale in our pursuit of God. We can get stale in our pursuit of Jesus. You know, think about it. Think back in your early experience as a Christian, your early experience of your salvation experience, when you had gotten saved, you got born again. You know, we couldn't wait to pray. Couldn't wait to open up and read your Bible. Couldn't wait to go share the gospel with other folks, you know, because it was just all so new. You're so excited. He's changed me. I'm a new person. I'm a new person in Christ. Old things are passing away and new things have come. I got to go tell somebody about Jesus. But somewhere along the way in this Christian journey, if we're not careful, we can become kind of lukewarm. Here it is. The Lord said it better than I. We can leave our first love. Because you know how it is when something is new. Even as a kid, as a child growing up, you get that new toy. And you just couldn't wait to get home to play with that racetrack or that train set or that, for you ladies, that doll or whatever it might be. You just couldn't wait for that new toy. But then after you play with it just a little while, it kind of loses this luster. It kind of loses this appeal or its excitement. Next thing you know, it's over on the shelf somewhere. Okay, some of y'all didn't get this. Let me try another one. You know, maybe you're in a job and that job is kind of like a dead end type of job and you're praying for another job opportunity, another career opportunity, and boom, God opens up the door. And so you get that new job and you're just so excited. You rush in. You're early every morning. You got that new job. Then after a little while, co-workers start getting on your nerves. And if you're a supervisor, the people that are working under you, they don't want to work. And then your boss is giving you a hard time. Pretty soon that new job loses its luster and appeal. Or how about that new house or that new car smell? Pretty soon that new car smell fades away and that car note hits you and you're like, man, I don't need this car now. So many things at one point in our life might bring us great excitement, great appeal, but eventually it wanes or it fades. Sometimes that can happen in our Christian lives. Sometimes it can happen in our journey with God. And Jesus is saying in Matthew 5:6, Jesus is saying to you and to me this morning, he said, keep the fire burning. He said, continue to have a hunger and thirst for him. Continue to have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Don't leave your first love. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So they shall be filled. They will be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's a healthy hunger and thirst. It's a desperate hunger and thirst. Listen to what David says in Psalms 15:1. He asks a very important question this morning in Psalms 15:1. He said, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Oh, that's a good question. Who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? That's a great question. Somebody say, What's the answer? Oh, here it is. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in the heart. Let me read that again. David says, he said, Lord, who can hang out with you? Who can abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Only those who walk uprightly. Only those who pursue righteousness. Only those who pursue the truth. Now, this is talking to the Christian. Now, if you're unsaved, if you're not a Christian, God doesn't say, well, get right first, walk in the truth, do righteousness, and then come to me. Now, God says, come just as you are. Come just as you are. God is a great cleaner upper. So to the sinner, to the unsaved, God says, come just as you are. But for the Christian, God said, to hang out with me, you got to be full of righteousness. To hang out with me, you got to have a hatred for sin and a desire to live holy. To hang out and walk with me, you got to say, I'm going to forsake these other things. You know, to get closer to God, sometimes some stuff in your life is going to have to fall off. To get closer to God, some stuff in your life and my life has to fall off. Watch this. Sometimes some people in your life have to fall off. But I would say anything that's stopping you or me from being closer to God, closer to Jesus, tell God to prune it out of me. Cut it out of me because I want to be closer to you. So the psalmist said, who can hang out with God? God said, only those who speak truth, only those who pursue righteousness, only those who walk uprightly, only those who have a desire to live holy, only those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. God said, if you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, I will satisfy you. I will fill you. God said, you just want to do the right thing and we can walk together. Just like he and Enoch walked together and the Bible said they walked together. And the next thing you know, Enoch was in heaven. Enoch didn't even die. He walked so closely with the Lord. He just skipped over death. I don't know about you all, but I want to live my life in such a way when death does creep in. I won't even know about it. Just next thing I know, I'm in the presence of the Lord. So blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be satisfied. Too many of us look for satisfaction and a feeling or completing in all the wrong places. And a lot of times it's good things. I'm not saying necessarily sinful stuff. I'm saying a lot of times we look for fulfillment in your job. It's good to have a decent job. Or maybe in your spouse. It's good to have a good spouse. Or maybe in your kids. It's good to have good kids. But all those things can't really complete you like God can complete you. All those things can't complete you like Jesus can complete you. We talked about it this morning in the marriage class. God doesn't give you a spouse that can meet all of your needs. God is the only one who can meet all of your needs. If your spouse or your kids or your parents can meet all of your needs, you'd be putting God second and put them first. Now, God said, I'm the first one. I'm the one who can satisfy you. I'm the only one who can fill you and complete. But guess what? God made us. He made us, and he made us that we might have a relationship with him. He is our creator. He created us that we might have a relationship with him. God said, blessed are those, Jesus teaches us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Listen to this. There are rewards of hungering and thirsting for righteousness. There are rewards, Sister Kiki, for hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Primarily, listen, the person who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, they have an ongoing desire to live righteously. That hunger to live holy, you want to write this down. That's the true mark of a Christian. That's the true mark of a Christian. If you got a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, that's the true mark of a Christian. It's a great litmus test. See, if you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, guess what? God put that desire in you. Let me repeat that. Skirt, rewind. Let me repeat that. If you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, God put that desire in you. We don't come here hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We come here figuring out how we can get over on folks, how we can get around God. We don't come here with that type of desire. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, God has placed that desire in you. That's a good test of saying if you're in the faith or not in the faith. What are you hungering for? What are you thirsty for? If it's God, if it's Jesus, if it's righteousness, hey, you belong to him. So that's a reward, if you will. That's a benefit of being hungering and thirsting for right. You say, hey, I must be on the right side of the line. I must be in the right company. I must be in the right crowd if I'm hungering and thirsting for Jesus. Also another benefit, another reward of being hungry and thirsty for righteousness, hungry and thirsty for God is, listen, we are satisfied. We get satisfied. We get filled. We get blessed. If you have a hunger and thirst for God, one of the rewards of hungering and thirsting for righteousness is we get filled, we get blessed, we get satisfied. I've never met a Christian who said, man, I'm closer to God, I'm closer to Jesus than ever before. And they said, well, but I'm still not satisfied. No. The closer you get to him, here it is, every day with Jesus gets sweeter than the day before. The closer you get to him, the more you want to be closer and closer to him. He's the only one that can satisfy. He's the only one that can please us. He's the only one that can fill us. Listen to what Moses said in Exodus 33, one of my favorite passages in all of the scriptures. Listen to what Moses said. He had a hunger and thirst for God. Brother Moses did. And this is Moses who God called and spoke to him through the burning bush and sent him down to Egypt to lead one of the greatest Exodus movements ever. Led several millions of people out of Egypt and led them out through the Red Sea. This is Moses, who walked closely with God. Think about that now. God sent him down to Egypt to perform these miracles. And so, I mean, Moses was close to God. But listen to what Moses prayed and desired in Exodus 33. He asked God this, a very bold question. He said, please, God, please show me your glory. He said, please, God, show me your glory. I think in Christendom, we don't have those type of prayers like we should, a prayer like that. God, show me your glory. That's a biblical prayer. That's a biblical prayer. This thing's still on, right? That's a biblical prayer. That's a good prayer. That's a God-honoring prayer, a Christ-filled prayer. So God, show me more of your glory. Then listen to what God said. God didn't say, no, Moses, I won't do that. I can't do that. No, listen to what God said. It's like, in a sense, it's like it excited God. It pleased God. God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. It's in Exodus 33. You can read it when you get home. I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. God said, I'll grant you your request, Moses. You want to see more of me? You want to see my glory? I'll make my goodness pass before you. But God had to give Moses some restrictions. So our Lord said to Moses, Moses, you cannot see my face. No man shall see me and live. In other words, God said, Moses, now you asked to see my glory, but if I showed you all my glory, I had to get ready to do your eulogy. I had to get ready to do conduct your funeral, because no man can see my face and live. But he said, this is what I do, Moses. This is what I do for you, though. Stand on this rock. Listen to this. This is Moses. Once again, he said, God, show me your glory. Stand on this rock. So it shall be when my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, kind of like hide him in the rock, and I will cover you with my hand. And while I pass by, then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. So God answered and satisfied Moses' request to be closer to God. Saints, we need to pray those type of prayers. We don't ask God often enough to draw us closer. Maybe part of the reason is, well, if he draws me closer, I got to give up some stuff. I might have to just give up something like time, or I might have to give up some habits or some thought processes I got that's not quite right. I'm going to have to give up some stuff to be closer to God. Psalmist asked this question, who can approach the holy hill of God? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. God is a holy God. So for you and I to draw closer to him, we got to pursue righteousness. We got to pursue holiness. But blessed are those of us who do that. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be satisfied. But the believer, it's always a blessing to live more sinless. I said, for the Christian, it's always better to live more sinless. Maybe I'm not saying my words right up here this morning. But a Christian, it's a joy. Maybe you should lie a lot. Then all of a sudden God delivers you from lying. You be like, thank you, Lord. I might lie every now and then. I don't lie like I used to. You might use a cuss like a sailor, as they say. But then God delivers you from your tongue saying slanderous or gossiping or curse words. Man, that's a joy to be delivered from some stuff like that. Maybe you just like to drink or smoke weed or something, but God delivers you from that. That's a joy. Maybe you have some sexual sin that's so easily entangled you, and God breaks those chains. That's a joy. It's a joy for the Christian to be closer to God. It's a joy for the Christian to be closer to Jesus. It's a joy for the Christian to be more holy and more righteous than we used to be. Surely we're closer to the Lord than when we first got saved. Thank God for salvation, but we need to be growing in our hunger and in our thirst for him. We ought to be growing in our hunger and thirst for him. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So Moses would tell you that, hey, God will fill you. God will satisfy you. God will grant you that request of a closer walk with him. That's what Brother Moses would tell us. But Brother Paul, and I'm going to be through in a few minutes. I'm the shortest man in town today. Brother Paul said this in Philippians 3:10. He said this in Philippians 3:10. He said, oh, that I may know him. Oh, that I may know Jesus. Wait a minute, Paul. I thought you already knew him. Now he's talking about a deeper knowledge of Christ. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul said, I want to know Jesus so badly. I don't care if I had to suffer, be persecuted, whatever I had to go through. If I get to know Christ better, it's worth it. Paul said, it's worth it. If I had to go through persecution and get beaten, and he did, all that, just to get to know Jesus better, it's worth it. So, oh, that I may know him, that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I like that part. Know him and the power of his resurrection. Personally, maybe this is me. I wish they just end the verse right there. But it doesn't. It says also the fellowship of his sufferings. Be closer to the Lord, beloved. It is going to cost us some suffering. It's going to cost us some stuff. But whatever it costs, I promise you, it pales in comparison to what we gain. A closer walk with him. So we will go through some stuff. Jesus, in this life, in this world, you will have trouble, but take courage, for I've overcome this world. Paul said, I had an insatiable hunger and thirst for Jesus. I wanted to know Jesus better. This desire to know is kind of what I alluded to earlier. It's much more than just an intellectual knowledge. Paul wasn't saying, I want to know more facts about Jesus. No. Paul was saying, I wanted to know Jesus experientially and personally. I wanted to know him more on an intimate basis. I don't necessarily want to know more facts about him. I know he died for my sin. I know he was buried. I know he was resurrected. I know he's all God and all man. I know those facts, but I want to know him experientially. I want to experience his presence. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to talk with Jesus. See, the wonderful thing about this Christian faith is we're not like these people in all these false religions who have no experience, no relationship with their God. Their God is just a set of facts, or some detached deity, a false God anyway. But the God that we serve, he wants to tabernacle with us. He wants to abide and abode with us. Matter of fact, he wants to be with us so badly that when Christ went back to heaven, Christ said, y'all just kind of lay low. I'm going to send you another helper, another of the exact same kind. And in Acts chapter 2, he sent the Holy Spirit. So as a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. God himself dwells with us. Oh, that's a blessing there. You ought to shout right there. Say hallelujah right there. God, the Holy Spirit is inside of us. I mean, God is with us. He's with us. Isn't it amazing? He is with us. God, the Holy Spirit, God, a very God, is inside of us. He dwells in us. He leads us. He guides us into all truth. He convicts us of sin. But he is with us, Sister Rachel. He is with us. God is with us. So we're never, even though we might be alone physically, we're never alone. So he can say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The psalmist said, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen a righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. Matthew 28, when Jesus says, go and make disciples, he said, go and make disciples, teach them all the things, observe me, obey me, teach them those things, baptize. And then at the very end, he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. So this Christian walk is not a solo walk. It gets lonely sometimes, but we have the Lord with us. He is with us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for God, for Jesus, for they shall be filled. They shall be satisfied. So the rewards of being hungry and thirsty, once again, it's the true mark of a Christian, true mark of a Christ follower. So another reward of being hungry and thirsty for righteousness is that we get satisfied. The Lord himself satisfies us. And this satisfaction is complete and eternal. It's not some temporal feeling, not some temporary thing. Like I mentioned earlier about the toy or the new car, the new house and all those things. Those things are okay, but those things, they kind of lose their luster after a while. They lose their appeal after a while. But this type of being satisfied or this type of pleasing that the Lord does, it's eternal and complete. It's eternal and complete. It's not some temporary stuff. Listen to what Jesus said in John 6:35. In John 6:35, you want to read that later. John 6:35, he said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Let me read that again. If you hunger and thirsting this morning for righteousness, you hunger and thirsting, Jesus said, just come to me. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who comes to me shall never thirst. Again, Jesus and God, they're the only ones who can completely handle our innermost desires, our innermost being, our innermost needs. Jesus says again, come to him. If you're hungry, go to him. If you're thirsty, go to him. And that's not necessarily just in a physical sense, more like a spiritual hungering, a spiritual thirsting. Jesus said, come to me. The reward of being hungry and thirsty, Sister Roxy, is you get to go to Jesus, who can and who will fill you. You get to go to Jesus, who can and who will fill you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for Jesus, for they shall be satisfied. God says it this way in Isaiah 55:1. He said, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. God said, if you're thirsty, come to him. They that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. I mean, God says, come to him. Jesus, all who are weary and heavy laden, he said, come to me and I will give you rest. This Matthew 5:6 is an invitation once again to draw closer to the Lord. It's an invitation again to pursue holiness and to pursue righteousness. It's an invitation to the Christian to be more like Jesus. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for God, for they shall be satisfied. Listen to what our Lord and Savior says in John 7:37, the latter part of John 7:37. Says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me, Jesus says, and drink. John 7:37, Jesus, if anyone's thirsty, come to him and drink. If you're thirsty this morning, go to Jesus. He can fill you. He can complete you. Too often, again, Christians now, sometimes we try to satisfy our hunger, our thirst in all the wrong places. I mean, some of these places, again, I'm not necessarily talking about sinful places either right now. I'm talking about places like, you know, good things or good works or doing this or, you know, getting busy in the church or doing a lot of things, a lot of activities that are maybe good activities, but not really the main activity is spending time with our God, spending time with our Jesus. Because I promise you, beloved, if you're spending time with our God, if you're spending time with our Jesus, you will be doing some good works. You will be doing some good deeds. Ephesians 2:8, 9, and 10. Ephesians 2:8 makes it very clear that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We're not saved or works lest anyone should boast. I mean, it's all of God, right? Kind of teaching on Wednesday night. It's all of God, right? He chose us. He elected us. It's all of God. Salvation is all of God. But then once we get saved, Ephesians 2:10 says he has some work for you and me. He has some things marked out even beforehand that you and I should be doing. So it's not an either or. It's we're saved by grace. We're saved by our faith in Christ. But also, true faith produces good works. James would say it this way, faith without works is dead. So again, if you're pursuing righteousness, if you're pursuing God, you will be filled, you will be satisfied, and you will be doing some fruitful things. But how is your appetite this morning? Are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Are you hungering and thirsting for God? Are you hungering and thirsting for Jesus? If so, go to the Lord, because he and he alone can satisfy you. Again, Jesus tells us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, but they shall be filled. That's a promise. That's a promise for our Lord. If you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, if you're hungering and thirsting for holiness, the Lord says, just come to me and you will be filled. You will be satisfied. Apart from that, beloved, no other thing, no other accomplishments, no other people, nothing else on planet Earth will be able to satisfy you or fill you like God can, like Jesus can. I end the sermon with this. You know, what is the chief end of man? A great document written years ago said, what is the chief end of man? Why are we here? What is the chief end of man? It's to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It's to glorify God, to show him off, if you will, and to enjoy him forever. So if we're not doing that, if you're not doing that, you're just existing. You're just making it just until you get to that, you know, you're just living that one date and that dash and that other date. You're just existing. But if you have a desire to draw closer to him, a desire for righteousness and holiness, a desire to glorify him, then you're fulfilling your purpose. That's the chief end of man, is to have a close walk. Not some, you know, 30 miles away type walk, but a close walk with the Lord. Like Moses asked again. So God, I'm close to you. I know a lot about you, but show me your glory. I want more of you, dear God. I want to know you in a better and more intimate way. That should be all of our requests this morning. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we do desire to know you in a more intimate and personal way. We know, dear God, in order to have that to happen for those of us that are Christians, some things we have to sacrifice, some things we have to set aside, some habits or some time management or even maybe some people, dear God. But show us, Father, those things or those people, those habits that are keeping us from being closer to you. Give us a deeper hunger and thirst for righteousness. Give us a deeper hunger and thirst for you, dear Jesus. And we know as we hunger and thirst for you, we know that you have a way of satisfying us and filling us. Again, dear God, help us to be like the psalmist who said, as a deer pants after the water brook, so our soul pants and thirst after you, O God.